Good evening. Sounding good to be with you tonight. I reckon that there's a new game they're playing around here. And it's called, Guess Who the Preacher's Going to Be Tonight? We always like surprises, and I'm delighted to be here tonight. Had I known you're looking for a preacher, I might have come a few days earlier. But anyway, here I am. And on my way through to Abaco, I always like to come through North Eleuther on the way to Abaco. You know, it's the shortest distance from Nassau to Abaco to come by North. Did you know that? The folks at the Current are always glad to have any help that we can give them. And so that's usually why I come this way and always have the privilege of coming sharing the Word of God with the young people and those who are not so young. And I appreciate that opportunity and appreciated over the years your warmth and your encouragement. I would like to say thank you to those of you who over the past weeks were praying for our daughter Erin. As if you didn't have enough trouble of your own around these parts, you were graciously remembered our needs and our situation. She had an accident with her vehicle about 5 weeks ago and cast on her left arm, her left leg, a splint on her right arm, and she's out of all those now and back to school and still maybe a little emotionally scarred, but really back on her feet again. We thank you for your interest and your prayers. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. One of those books in the Old Testament that we don't open too often. I don't know why, because it's full of excitement and full of interesting accounts of interesting people, one of whom we want to think about just for a few moments this evening. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Reading from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, and they brake down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel and of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house, even to the artificers. And builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. Let's go on to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found a book of the law given, of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Tonight I want to think of the spiritual history of a young man. The spiritual history of a young man. History is yesterday. History is the summation of all that is past. And I just would like to ask tonight if you have a history. You say, Mr. Rudd, of course I've got a history. I'm 8 years of age. I'm 10. I'm 12. I'm 66. And I've got a long history. All right. We've established that. History deals with yesterday. History deals with the past. But let me ask you this. What about your spiritual history? I notice that you have a physical history because you're here in body tonight. But what about your spiritual history? See, I could ask you about your physical history. And you say, well, I was born in Spanish Wells, or I was born in Nassau, or I was born in Miami. I was born at a certain day. My parents were. My brother, my sister. I grew up, I went to school, and you can go and you can tell me all the details. But what about your spiritual history? Were you ever born again? Were you ever brought into the family of God? Were you ever made aware that in the family of God you have brothers and sisters, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ also? And let me ask you about the progress during your time of spiritual history. Have you grown in the Lord? Have you gone on to love Him more? To serve Him better? To become more like Him? That would all be included in your spiritual history. You see, I want us to go back to the Old Testament for a few minutes tonight and pick up on the story of an individual that we've read about tonight named Josiah. You see, I want to talk about Josiah tonight for several reasons. The first is this. Josiah is largely ignored. Now, when was the last time you heard a message on Josiah? Somebody says, never. Maybe you heard one last week, I don't know. But all I'm saying is that we don't often hear about Josiah. And when was the last time you opened up your book, your Bible, either to 2 Kings 22 or to 2 Chronicles chapter 34? Probably for some of us, it's been quite some time. And when was the last time we began to think about this young man, Josiah, and his spiritual history? I've just got a few things to point out about Josiah. First of all, at the age of 8, he began a reign. He reigned in Judah for 31 years. And Josiah stands out as being most unusual among the other kings who lived and reigned about that time. For instance, his grandfather, Manasseh, was known as one who did evil in the sight of the Lord for most of his reign. His dad, Amon, was noted as being one who did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this young man stands out as being different in that when he reigned in Jerusalem, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so we're thinking of an individual who's rather different from those who went before him and indeed those who came after him. He became a king at the ripe old age of 8 years. How many boys and girls tonight are 8 years of age? Have we got an 8-year-old here? What is her name? Bridget. How would you like to be queen? Nope. Any boys of 9? Or 10? What's your name? Reuben. Reuben's been king for 2 years already. Now think about it. I mean, no reflection on you young people. But, you know, you don't really expect an 8-year-old to be a king or a queen. Somebody says, why not? Well, you know, they're not really ready for that. They've not finished their education. They've not learned a whole lot of facts about things that they need to know. And yet, this young man was made king at the age of 8. Oh, I'm perfectly sure he had his advisors. I'm perfectly sure there were those around him who could help him. But I guess as king, he had the final authority. I guess as king, he could do what he wanted. I guess as king, he had lots of money coming out of his ears where he could do and buy and be just whatever he wanted. Wow. Think about it. And he could have taken advantage of that. He could have bullied his way through life. Hey, do you know who I am? I'm the king. No, it'd be, hey, do you know who I am? I'm the king. Okay. No. We read that at 8 years of age, he began to reign, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. How come? His dad hadn't. And for most of his reign, his grandfather hadn't. You know, something amazing happened at the end of Manasseh's life. Manasseh got saved. Manasseh got his life sorted out with the Lord. Towards the end of Manasseh's reign, he was a changed man. And he tried to change the world they lived, and he tried to change the nation that he ruled. However, it was at the end of his life that he gave his heart to the Lord. And I just wonder whether that might have had a deep impression, a deep impact upon young Josiah. He'd only been 5 or 6 at the time. And yet somehow, at age 8, he determined that if he was going to be a king, he was going to be a good one, not a bad one. If he was going to be king, he was going to follow the Lord and not himself. If he was going to be a king, he was going to be an example, a good example, and not a bad example. And I want you young people to know that you don't have to blow it in life. I want you young people to know that you don't have to go the way of the crowd. I want you young people to know that you don't need to experiment with drugs and alcohol as you grow up in today's world. I want you young people to know that you don't have to do everything that you see people doing on TV or in videos. I want you young people to know that you can be different, that you should be different, that you must be different to make your life worthwhile. A king at 8. At 8 years of age, he began a reign. But something else I notice here. If he began a reign at 8, he began a relationship at 16. Listen to this. In the 8th year of his reign, he became the king at 8. 8 years down the road, 16 years of age he was now. While he was yet young, verse 3, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Something happened at age 16. He was always a young man that depended on the Lord, I imagine. He was always a young man who wanted to do what was right. He was well aware of his responsibility, the awesome responsibility of governing a nation. But somehow, it appears, he tried to do it all in his own strength. But 8 years into his reign, when he was only 16 years of age, I'll not embarrass you teenagers, but I guess we got some 16-year-olds here tonight. What is it that characterized his life then? He began to seek the Lord. Young people, it's high time some of you began to seek the Lord. Can I say that again in a slightly different way? Young people, it is high time that many of you began to seek the Lord. And you're sitting there thinking, well, what's he getting all hot about tonight? I'll tell you what I'm getting all hot about tonight. I have been around enough years and enough places to know that most of our churches are filled with young people who are playing games. They profess to be saved at 8 or 10 or 12, and they hit their teenage years, and they immediately turn their back on everything that they've been taught and everything they profess to believe and follow. Folks, it is time you began to seek the Lord. Because if you don't do it now, I don't know when you're going to do it. If you don't do it now, you're going to waste time, and you're going to waste years, and you're going to waste potential that could be and should be used for the Lord. And I'll guarantee that most of the people that you look up to and you respect in this community are those who are living for God and those who can go back in their spiritual history, not only to a time when they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, but a time when earnestly and sincerely in their heart and in their life, they began to seek the Lord. It wasn't only that he began to seek the Lord and enter into this relationship with God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And I guess we'd simply say that although he had lived a good life, and although he was aware of the things of God in his earlier years, I guess we'd have to say that he was saved when he was 16. That's when he turned to the Lord. Age 8, began a reign. Age 16, began a relationship with God. Age 20, he began a reform. Look at this again in verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, 4 years later, age 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, the carved images, and the molten images, and broke down the altars of Balaam. Guess what? He lived in a land, he lived in a community that said they followed God and actually were very far from God. You could tell it by their lifestyle. You could tell it by their worship. You could tell it by the way that they lived their lives and the things they did and the places they went. You could tell it by their interest in the things that were not of God, that they had no desire to serve God. Josiah's predecessors, those kings who had come before him, had allowed terrible things to come into their community. False worship, false idols, images, little shrines or groves where these false gods were to be worshipped. And the religion of the true God and the worship of the true God and the relationship that these people ought to have had with the true God was a thing of ancient history. And Josiah wanted to change all that. He's only 20, but guess what? He brings about a transformation. He brings about a reform in his own day and time. And I want to tell you young people that you can do the same. You may feel you're very young and you get the impression that you can't do a thing for God until you get a little gray in your hair or a little bald on the top, a little too much weight out front. And listen, I want to tell you something. If you're not in the business of making a difference for God now, don't kid yourself. It'll never happen. Now's the time that you can make a difference. Now's the time that you can take a stand. Now's the time that you can begin to cleanse your life of those wrong things, those influences that are dragging you down and holding you back. Excuse me, maybe we need to get rid of some of those videos and some of that literature. And maybe we need to clean up our web browser a little bit and stop looking at the junk that is all too easily found and accessed on the internet. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't it time to clean up our lives I was going to say clean up our lives a little. No, for many of us it's clean up our lives a lot, because we're 100 miles away from the Lord. We're not seeking Him. We're not serving Him. We're not following Him. And yet we claim to be Christians. We come out to youth service. We come out on Sunday. And we sit there like little angels and the rest of the time, oh boy. It's exactly what we're not. Let's learn from the spiritual history. The spiritual history of this young man, Josiah. Let's make sure that we've begun a relationship with God and begun to reform and clean up our lives. Something else he began to do. Age 8 began a reign. Age 16 began a relationship. Age 20 began a reform. At age 26, he began a repair. Look at verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, 18 plus 8 is 26. When he'd purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan and Joaz to repair the house of the Lord his God. It was quite one thing to have cleaned up the false religions, but now he had to reinstate the true religion. The house of God had fallen to disrepair. The work of God was not being supported, either financially or by the presence of the people. Maybe because the house was all in disarray, was in ruins, they needed to clean it up. And so they took up an offering. The people of God responded. I determined from that the response was good to his desire to reform the nation. The people supported what he was doing. And when they went to the house of God and they began to repair it, guess what they found? It's as if it's fallen down behind the back of the offering box. That's what it seems like. When they went to pick up the money that had been collected, guess what they found? They found the Word of God. How long had it remained there? How long had it been obscure? How long had it been hidden? How long had it been lost? You see, whenever you begin to seek the Lord, and whenever you determine to do what is right, God will direct us to His book. And I think you'll discover that not one major revival or even minor revival has been without the Word of God. They found the Word of God, and you know what they did? They began to read the Word of God. Do you know what the Word of God did? It began to convict them of their lifestyle and of their sin and of their departure from the Lord. And guess what? There was a great revival. Because one young man was bold enough to try and make a difference in society. Because one young man was convinced that his relationship with God was not something personal, but something he had to use to reach out to the whole community. And in that way, God directed him to the book of the law. In that way, the book of the law was brought to bear upon the lives of men and women and young people. And in that way, there was revival and transformation in Jerusalem, in Judah. And you know what? I think that needs to happen in the Bahamas. Do you know what? I think that needs to happen in North Luther. Do you know what? I think it needs to happen right here, in this community. And you might just be the one. You could be the one that God would use to bring about revival. No matter how old you are or how young you are, God wants to use you. And in the Word of God that you will take with you and you will carry with you, there is the power to transform this whole island. One of the best stories I think I've heard that would illustrate this is the story of the mutiny on the Bounty. Years ago, remember, the folks mutinied and sent Captain Bligh off in this longboat, and they took over the sailing ship, the Bounty, and they landed in the Pitcairn Islands, and they had no regard for God or for anybody else for that matter. They found some native women that they began to live with, and before long they'd established a community there, and it was a terrible community. They learned how to make alcohol from the roots of a native plant, and before long, it was just a terrible place. There was violence, there was bloodshed, there was immorality. It was just a terrible place. But one day, they opened up the trunk, which they found, and they found the ship's Bible. There was one man, Alexander Smith, who could read, and he determined that he would teach everybody else to read. 20 years later, a ship came and landed on the Pitcairn Island where these people were, and they found a law-abiding society with no alcoholism, no violence, no need for any law enforcement agency. In other words, they found a Christian community. Do you know why? Because they discovered the Word of God. They read it, and they obeyed it. And that could happen here. That could happen in your life. And it was all because a little boy wanted to do right. All because of a teenager who turned to the Lord and sought to change his world. And God blessed him. And God used him. And may God bless you and use you too. Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. What a difference it made all those years ago in the life of Josiah and his nation when they rediscovered and began to take seriously the truth of God's word. They were transformed. And we thank you, Father, for the power that is in this wonderful book. We're told that it's a living and powerful book.